The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Spray is poured by Pelican Brewing. Celebrate the season with a Northwest tradition. Bad Santa Cascadian Dark Ale. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, welcome back in. Hour two might sound a little odd to some of you P1s out there, or P2s or P3s. We don't normally start the second hour with the Daily Ticker, but today's Daily Ticker is early, and it's brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company. Whether you are on the nice list or the naughty list, I think Dirt's firmly on the naughty list every year.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Celebrate the season with Pelican's festive brew, Bad Santa Cascadian Dark Ale. And today's early ticker guest today, because we will do whatever we can to get this guy on the radio program, is former Duck legendary player and legendary broadcaster Mike Jorgensen. Jorgie, you can find him on social media. He'll be calling another conference championship game this weekend with the great Jerry Allen in Indianapolis, Oregon, Penn State, and he joins us now on the Daily Ticker. Jorgie, good morning. I want to ask you, yesterday was National Signing Day, a big deal to people in college football. Oregon had some flips. There was one kid that said, you know, one of the selling points and what worked for him for Oregon, and that caused a stir in college football. So I want to ask you, I encounter Mike Jorgensen in 1980, and I say, Mike, I'll give you an Oldsmobile Cutlass right now if you come to my school. Would that have done it?
Yeah, Ford Pinto would have probably done it then. So.
Phil Knight designed a shoe for you when you were at Oregon. Jorgie, did you get that? Phil Knight specifically designed shoe?
Isn't that something that's, you know, and again, with each into their own as to how they get excited and what they get excited about. I mean, being able to design a shoe of your own and let alone be associated with Nike, frankly, would be a thrill, I think, for any student athlete, you know, coming out of high school into college. So that swoosh is powerful.
Yeah.
And it means something. And it means something in a good way. So if it becomes one of those type of situations where that's what helps draw players in, among other things, then so be it. Take advantage of it.
Yeah. Well, we want to talk about the Big Ten title game with you because it's an interesting and exciting matchup. Also, a lot of history from where these two teams last played to where they're both at now, especially with Oregon. We've talked to Anthony Newman about this story on the air. I don't know if I can recall if you've told us this. Could you just walk us as quickly as you can? What was being recruited by Oregon and in college like in 1980-81 versus what it feels like or looks like today?
Well, I mean, the social media aspect of it has just become huge. And the way that players can be promoted online, all the videos, all the the all-star camps that you go to of high school players, position situations, you know, the way that people are promoted these days just wasn't the way it was back in the early 80s. I mean, you just, coaches had to drive to go watch a play. You know, they would obviously order up some film every once in a while, maybe from, you know, the high school that you played for. But their opportunity was either sending scouts out by word, maybe from people that they knew in that particular area. And then when word got out that maybe there was somebody pretty good in a particular area, they showed up in masses. And you know, again, just the social media aspect of it that hypes people up is the biggest piece of it, I think, nowadays. And so, I mean, I know there's a lot of other things that go with it. It's funny that, you know, I don't dial in probably to recruiting as much as I should. I, you know, I texted back and forth with Andy yesterday, driving back from Memphis, saying, how did it go? You know, because I was in meetings all day. But it was one of those ones where you follow it all the way along. You kind of know who the dudes are, who Oregon is after and who all the big-time schools are after and that type of deal. But you dial it back to the early 1980s and in mid-1980s and that type of deal. It just wasn't that way unless you were in a big metro area that was easily accessible by coaches like Anthony up at Beaverton in the Portland area, or, you know, I'm in Ontario, Oregon, on the east side of the state. Boise was the biggest and closest city. And other than that, you know, you had to pretty much drive everywhere you went versus hopping on a jet. So.
Right. Much different landscape now than it used to be. It is funny to think about how much the program has changed and what we would have thought maybe 30 years ago, saying, hey, Oregon's going to have maybe the number one recruiting class in the country. Just wild how the program has grown, and that's going to be on display again this weekend. I'm curious to ask you, before we get into this game, just what you made of what their defense did on Saturday night. Demond Williams, I thought looked pretty good for a freshman making his first start. Good athlete, ran around, made some plays with his legs. But to have 10 sacks in a game was wild. I mean, just under constant pressure. And it kind of connects back to signing day, where that was the focal point of landing when he got there, of how do we get better on the defensive front? How do we get bigger? How do we get stronger? Almost culminating in that game on Saturday night. They're going to need him this weekend again. But just your thoughts on that performance and that pass rush against the Huskies.
Yeah, I thought they did a great job. You know, what they did such a good job of is shutting down Jonah Coleman. And he was zero factor coming into that game with 1,000 yards rushing, and I don't know if he got 10. I mean, really, at the end of the day, when I looked at what his stats were, I think he had more carries than he did yards. And he was a guy that they had to have be able to have a decent game to take a little bit of the pressure off of Demond Williams. But, you know, Williams, man, that guy is quick. I mean, if he develops into the type of guy that he could potentially be, you know, smallish, and so he's going to get beat around a little bit if anybody can catch him anyway. But he's a speedy dude that I think was going to, it can cause a lot of people problems as he gets the experience and the snaps and can get beyond maybe his first or second choice. That's the thing that they had to do with him, was they really had to simplify the playbook. And if you go to choice number one or choice number two in your progression of receivers and they're not open, you got to take off and use your leg. But what Oregon did such a great job of is not letting him get outside very often. They've got the speed to match his speed. That's the other thing about it. When you've got linebackers that, you know, are arguably some of the fastest guys on the team, it's a good matchup to be able to have. And so I thought Oregon just did a great job of harassing him, not letting Washington's offense get into any type of rhythm all game long. They had a couple of drives. Every team's going to do that, but just did not let him get into rhythm at all, and sack him 10 times is pretty unbelievable.
Our guest is Mike Jorgensen, color analyst for Oregon Duck Radio Football. You can catch him every game here on The Fan and all throughout the great state on the Oregon Sports Network as they get ready for the Big Ten title game this week and against Penn State. We've had the Penn State play-by-play guy, Steve Jones, on this week. We talked to Josh Pate, who covers college football nationally. Interesting, like Steve Jones at Penn State certainly knows how good Oregon is and what they're capable of, thinks this is going to be a good matchup because physically these teams aren't that far apart. Josh Pate yesterday, Jorgie, said Penn State's pass rush is better than Ohio State's, which if you look at the Big Ten all-conference teams, you probably wouldn't conclude that reading the names from where they're at. He says it's better than Ohio State. What about Penn State for you when you've seen them, you've seen tape, whatever it be, what for you stands out about Penn State that kind of makes you wonder, how is Oregon going to do against this unit?
Abdul Carter is the first guy that sticks out like a sore thumb. I mean, he's got, you know, the amount of tackles, velocity he has, sacks that he has. He's their DJ. Uyunglele, based on the amount of he's got 20 tackles for loss. I mean, he's got 10 sacks. And that's basically what DJ has DJ. I want to call him DJ. Uyunglele has, Mateo has, from a standpoint of sacks. They both have the matching sacks. Abdul Carter has more tackles for loss, so he's in the backfield a lot. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to take a look at Penn State's stats compared to Oregon's, offensively and defensively. I mean, they're almost a mirror image of each other. In the points they score per game, their first downs per game, sacks per game, third down conversions, total offense, total defense. They're almost mirror images of each other. And you think about how many sacks Oregon had last week against Washington with 10, so they end up with 39 so far this season. Penn State's got 32. And that 10-sack game is kind of an anomaly that throws things off. So they're almost mirror images in relation to sacks, too. So, the first guy that sticks out to me is Abdul Carter. I mean, he just makes plays all over the place, particularly in the backfield. And that's going to be the key for both of these quarterbacks and both of these offenses. How do you protect your quarterback? How does Drew Aller get protected? How does Dylan Gabriel get protected? Do they get sacked? Do they get harassed? Because it can really throw an offense off if you can do that. And both these defenses can really throw the other offenses off.
You know, the weird thing, Jorgie, about this game this weekend is that there's not, last year against Washington, everything's on the line. You win the game, you're in the playoff. You lose the game, you're going to a New Year's Six game, and that's kind of the end of your year. This year's a little bit different, right? You lose the game, and maybe your punishment is the 5 seed, which might end up being an easier path throughout the college football playoffs. That's kind of a weird feeling going in. I'm just curious to ask you, not only for this weekend, but going forward, where is the spot that maybe still is a concern for you? Like, oh, if somebody's going to get Oregon, that's what ends up, run game? Is it, pass protection? The defense has been great, but at times we saw Genty ran against him and Ohio State threw it on him. Where's the weakness that you're looking at of saying, if somebody's going to get Oregon and knock him off, this is the reason it's going to happen?
Well, you did say one of them right there that would, I wouldn't say it concerns me, but at times it's been a little bit inconsistent, and that's the run defense. And it's not that, Penn State with Nick Singleton coming in, 750 yards or so rushing. He doesn't come in as a 1,000-yard rusher, a 1,200-yard rusher, but he's just good enough to hurt you. And that's what I think that's what Penn State's going to have to do to be able to really have an opportunity to beat this Oregon team. They're going to have to be able to run the ball. And Singleton's good out of the backfield, too, as a receiver. But they have to be able to run the ball. And there's been times this year where you just kind of scratch your head a little bit. Wisconsin's the most recent, game where all of a sudden they're just shutting down the run in the first half, and then all of a sudden Wisconsin starts going off. They start gashing Oregon's defense and not necessarily scoring points, but moving down the field at times and putting themselves in the red zone and that type of deal. And so that's where I see Oregon maybe would get taken advantage of would be the rush defense. They can't let Nick Singleton and this Penn State offense get off in that direction, because that's where Tyler Warren all of a sudden becomes effective. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the guy that's caught 80 passes. I mean, that's just ridiculous that a tight end has caught that much and that many passes, and yet he is the main key for that offense to really get going. But if they can run the ball, that's where all of a sudden Tyler Warren becomes really dangerous.
Well, Jorgie, I was going to ask you about him because you just referenced Coleman having sub 12 yards, 10 yards rushing in that game. He clearly was a focal point for Taj Lapoy in that defense. Would you be surprised if Tyler Warren had a big game Saturday? Because I think I put myself in the camp of, I will. I know he's a great player. I've seen him hike a ball and then catch a fade route in the same play. I've never seen that in my life. I know how good he is. I would be surprised if Lapoy and that defense aren't just keyed on him and saying, you know what, other people are going to beat us. Would you be surprised if Warren had a big game Saturday?
I mean, I think even if you focus on him, he's going to have a big game. He's that good. Oregon has seen some good tight ends this year. One at Michigan, obviously, that gave him problems, and they knew he was the main guy that Michigan would go to if any receiver, and he still caught 8-10 balls. So I just think that Tyler Warren's going to have a decent game. He's going to catch balls. He's going to get his yards. It just can't be one of those 15-catch, three-touchdown games. That's what you don't want Tyler Warren to do, because they find gimmicky ways to put him into that offense. Sometimes he doesn't touch the ball, but like a Tez Johnson, he's the alpha on that offense. You got to know where he is. You got to know where he's lined up. When they break the huddle, you've got to figure out where number 44 is, and that's already a problem when you have to do that with somebody on the other side of the line of scrimmage. So I don't doubt that Tyler Warren is going to have a big game. It just can't be the ones that are touchdowns or one of the ones where all of a sudden he gets free one-on-one, beats an inside linebacker for, you know, 60 yards in a touchdown type of situation. That's what you can't give up to a guy like Tyler Warren. He's fun to watch. He's a big dude, 6'6", 260, athletic as all can get up, and he's going to be a key to that offense. But again, if Dick Singleton gets off running the ball, he's going to be that much more dangerous.
There we go. Good stuff. Mike Jorgensen, longtime play-by-play guy for Oregon Duck football, getting ready for the Big Ten title game this weekend. All it costs is a Ford Pinto, and Mike Jorgensen is all
it's
yours.
All it takes, man. It's easy. Easy recruitment.
It's very easy.
And a nice pair of shorts. That's all you need.
Some nice khakis. Yeah. Some khaki shorts. I love it. Jorgie, thank you for joining us this morning. We always appreciate having you on. Have a great call on Saturday, and hope we can catch up with you as the Ducks get ready for the playoff.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.